Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire, to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Eric Shepherd, Executive Director of the Waco Civic Theater. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor, Marketing and Advertising Consultant with Elizabeth A. Taylor Consulting, formerly Director of the Waco Convention Center. Liz is a member of the Brazos Valley Public Broadcasting Foundation Board of Directors. This conversation was recorded May 4th, 2016 in the KWBU studio.
Well, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I am talking today with Eric Shepherd. He is Executive Director at the Waco Civic Theater. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks. It's good to be here. I'm sorry you guys are so hard up for guests. You've got me on the air, but I hope I won't embarrass you too badly.
You won't displease anyone listening. I know you won't, because I know you. But it's great to have you here. It's great to have an opportunity to talk about civic theater and what's going on in the community. It's also very great to have an opportunity just to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. It's my favorite topic.
Well, of course it is. I think you're one of the more remarkable people in the community right now, and I don't know that a lot of people know who you are.
Oh. Well, hopefully this can fix that.
Maybe it'll be a start.
Yeah.
But the things you're doing in the community are not unnoticed.
Great. And
I think that this may be an opportunity for us to talk about some of those things, and maybe more people will notice it. And, you know, it might garner some support for civic theater. Who knows?
I would love that. That sounds like a great recipe.
Okay. So let's start by telling me a little about your background and how you got here.
Interestingly enough, was on a website in the fall of 2012, and there aren't that many community theater jobs. There just aren't. And when I saw a listing for the one for Waco Civic Theater, I remembered being at Baylor in grad school and thinking there was a lot of potential there, that it was a really interesting theater space, mm-hmm. and that there'd been a history
interesting
of—
Interesting is a good word.
Yes, it is.
Interesting is a good word for the theater space.
Yeah, not quite in the way one, you know, talks about a blind date as interesting.
No, but similar.
Yeah, nonetheless, it had potential.
Yes.
And it was a different building than any other that I'd worked in or seen a show in, and that intrigued me. And as I got to know the board of directors and the folks on the hiring committee, I discovered the direction that they wanted to take the theater was exactly where I wanted to go as a theater director myself.
Good.
And so it was a great fit. It just seemed natural and easy and appropriate and fortuitous, you know, all those words that one says, okay, this is the right place, the right time, you know? Yes, thank you.
Those are great theater words.
I have three or four more. I'll try to pepper my conversation with them.
Real quick, let's talk about your family.
Okay.
And because they're here with you.
I have a beautiful, lovely, talented wife.
Of course you do.
Yes. Well, lucky me.
Yeah, there you go.
We all marry up, and I literally married up. She's taller than I am. I have two dogs with my wife. They are our furry children.
Okay.
And I have—
Talented and artistic, I'm sure.
The dogs? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're incredible. They can mimic dogs and lazy animals like you wouldn't believe. And on occasion, they can appear to be motivated or scary.
Appear to be.
Yeah, they're Great Danes, and they're—
Oh, my gosh!
I love them.
Oh, yeah.
They're—
Well, how can
wonderful.
You not love a Great Dane?
They're less convincing in their imitation of a lap dog.
Oh.
And they are often mistaken for guard animals because they are so large,
yeah.
and they have such a deep bark, but they would probably lick an intruder rather
yeah.
than, you know,
yeah.
scare it away.
But they're kids.
They're kids. Oh, they are. We love them. I also have a daughter who is fully grown. She is in grad school in Boston.
Okay.
And don't get to see her as often as I'd like. She likes chilly, gray, northern climates. I prefer the sunny Southland.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Diversity is good.
Exactly. She loves it, and I'm glad that she's found an area of the world and a pursuit that she likes. You know, that's what you hope for with your kids.
And it's great to go visiting in Boston.
I love Boston. I love Boston.
To visit.
And she lived in New York before that, which, you know, as a theater
person.
You know, and as a person who likes to eat good food.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. How many more reasons did I need to go to New York City?
That's right. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about how you got here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in the Central Texas area for some time now.
Yes. I grew up in Austin. I like telling people I'm from Hutto because Hutto is a little charming, you know, farm town.
Hutto Hippos.
That's right. The one and only Hutto Hippos. I'm still a hustling Hutto Hippo.
There you
heart.
Go. Yeah. Hustling Hutto Hippo. I love it.
We had a much smaller environment in Hutto when I was growing up than they have now. Now it's a bedroom community of Austin.
Yes.
Back then it was a farm town. And for the longest time, the population sign, you know, city limits said Hutto population 545. And, you know, that may have been more or less true. I'm not sure,
right.
You know, depending on, you know, somebody's cousin visiting or whether they were counting livestock, you know, as people. But it was a small town. I mean,
yeah.
A really small town. My graduating class was 17, but then one of the girls got pregnant. So she got married at Christmas rather than,
so
you know, graduating. So, no, it went to 16.
I know, I'm teasing.
Yeah, and, yeah, well, country math, yes.
Yeah,
because I don't think that child was born until after graduation time.
Oh.
So I moved up a spot in the class rankings. So that was good for me.
You're terrible.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
So I did high school, a portion of high school in Hutto, and but most of my growing up was in Austin. And interestingly enough, Austin was, for the time when I was a kid, about the same size Waco is now.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things about Waco today that remind me of my growing up time. And Austin, when I was growing up, was experiencing some of the things that Waco is, an influx of new people, new ideas, you know, new restaurants.
Kind of a changing of a demographic.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a real turning over that was going on then. And it's really feels like coming full circle.
That's great.
Being in Waco now.
Well, you've been through it then.
Yes, I have.
You've been through it.
Excited for the changes. And I think that people have learned an awful lot. Let's hope so. In how to manage growth so that Waco doesn't become Austin in the sense that, you know, it's too expensive to live in and you can't drive around and,
right.
You know, that sort of thing. But it is adopting a lot of the things that one sees in, you know, really neat cosmopolitan areas, an openness to the outside world and an embracing of it and still retaining the charm, you know, that keeps the place what it is.
Sure.
I see bumper stickers occasionally says, keep Waco, Waco, Waco. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, as the former director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, that wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I understand. Yes,
but it has its value, though.
Yeah.
It does. It has its value.
It expresses an idea that which may not be a great marketing slogan.
It has a mixed reaction to for some people, but
right.
Then so did the whole Keep Austin Weird.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
there were people
mixed.
Who didn't like it at all.
Right.
Mean, you know, you want to
right.
encourage businesses to come there, and the old business model, oh, that's no good.
Right.
But for more contemporary businesis, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, having, you know, M&Ms
so
in a jar in the lobby
for?
Or, you know,
yes.
wearing
exactly.
shoes optional in the office environment, that's really okay in some of those companies. In fact,
right.
they like that.
That's right. So how about, I mean, we can all read your vita on the website. And
I'm
all
sure
of that.
They will.
I'm sure everyone will.
Yeah.
But how did you get into the idea, or how did you get to the idea of coming to community theater, to Waco Civic Theater?
You know, life is full.
I mean, you've already
of,
talked about
yeah,
how
sure,
the,
yeah.
the ad was there and you
mm-hmm,
thought,
yeah.
I'll check it out. But
well, community theater, and it's interesting that you bring that up because I have a memory of standing outside a cast party sometime in the late 80s in Austin where I was living. And, you know, after Hutto, I did move back to Austin. Just missing part of the story there.
It's okay.
So, yeah. Moved back to Austin. I was doing Austin theater. I was teaching school during the daytime, and I was talking with a fellow who's probably about the same age I am today. And we were talking about life and his love of theater. And he said, I've been doing community theater for about 30 years. And my immediate reaction was, dear God, why?
<You know? laughs> Couldn't find anything else.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, you know, if you love theater, then you're a professional theater person. You move to New York City, you know, or, you know, whatever. And why would you want to do that? Now I'm that guy, as it turns out. I had a time when I thought, yes, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to move to L.A. And, you know, I've got little stories about that, too. In fact, I was supposed to be Matthew McConaughey's roommate.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I had an offer to go out there because a buddy of mine wanted to get married and stay in Austin instead. And he said, I have this friend named Matt. He's an awesome actor. He's going to make it. You're going to remember this guy. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever.
I think you dodged a bullet.
Yeah, and it turned out to be Matthew McConaughey. You know? Yeah, I mean, I could have been arrested naked playing bongos.
There you go. Know? See? You know?
And that sadly is not on my resume.
Sadly, but maybe not in a bad way.
I thought that's what I was supposed to do, not the naked bongos thing, but, you know, moved to L.A., moved to New York. And so I did. I moved to New York, and I waited an awful lot of tables, made an awful lot of copies, and sold an awful lot of office equipment, but didn't really make a dent as an actor.
Okay.
A lot of callbacks, a couple of shows, but never really did that. But I started getting jobs along the way as a director. And that led me to coming to Baylor to go to their MFA in directing program in the mid-90s. And that really changed the way I felt about being an actor and about being a director. And it was partly the schooling and partly it was, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So then I started to direct shows, and I got a job at the community theater in Killeen. And I hadn't even finished my degree program yet. And I got better as a director, and I got better as an arts administrator, and I thought this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and so that ran its course in the summer of 2012, and then I began looking for, you know, the next community theater job, and I looked at a few in the area. Georgetown was one of those places, and they're doing great.
Yes.
You know, so somehow they dodged a bullet in not hiring me, I think. I did run across the listing for the one in Waco, and I went, okay, let's figure this out. Let's explore it, see if it's a good fit or not, and it turned out to be the best fit possible.
That's great. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor. I can actually remember that. And I'm
good
talking today, that's right, talking today with Eric Shepherd, who is executive director of the Waco Civic Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy going on, going around and making sure that people in the community are aware, not just of the WCT, Waco Civic Theater, but also of the community and growing this community. So,
thank you.
Well, you are. And I think you're an important, I see you as an important figure. And not just the arts community, but in the whole community, because I think you understand what it takes to be a piece of a community. And that, I think you realistically understand people aren't just going to come to Waco just to go to the Waco Civic Theater. They have to be connected with other things.
That's right. Yeah, it may not be the reason to be here, but it might be one of the reasons people stay.
People stay, or they get involved.
You're right.
You know, maybe they get involved in civic theater because theater's always been important to them, and maybe they do like to go to, you know, New York trips and this, that, and the other, but they're not seeing that here. So, you know, we'll do civic theater and we'll help build it.
Right. I think, yeah, you've touched on a lot of things that really matter to me. One of them is that sense of place. And I think, sadly, one of the things that was lost when Hutto grew was it lost its sense of place. It just became an outpost. You know, it's a place where people maybe send their kids to school or whatnot. And there are probably, you know, folks who say, no, there's a really strong civic life in Hutto. But it doesn't feel the same as when I grew up. And I'm not sure that that's just age talking. I think
sure.
that... it lost a part of its identity, and it became like so many other suburbs.
Yeah, and there's been so much change.
So quickly.
You're right. And so it's hard for a community to sustain growth in that way and not make, life-changing changes for a community. So that's great.
Austin's also finding that too. How do they continue the growth pattern, which is, you know, marvelous, and it's invigorating and it's exciting, and Austin's
exactly.
an international destination. I can remember when I was a kid, someone asked, where are you from? And I said, Austin. They said, Austin, Indiana?
Right.
Austin, Minnesota?
Right. Austin,
know?
Where?
And I was like, no, Austin, Texas. Are there others?
Yeah. Really.
But that sense of place, you know, that sense of belonging, that sense of local identity is so important. And, you know, community theater is not the the be-all, end-all, but it is an important part. And it allows people to have an outlet for their creativity. It also allows them a sense of identity. I mean, one of the great pleasures to me of seeing community theater is that it's got such heart in it. You know, yes, you can go to New York City and you can see a show and you can marvel at the artistry of the people who are, you know, doing their thing. But when you are seeing a production and you find out that your pastor or your, you know, Sunday school teacher or your dentist or, you know, the person that you buy your coffee from in the morning is also a really gifted actor or singer or dancer, it brings the performance to a place of recognition and familiarity and ownership, if you will, that you can never experience, even if you're seeing something that, you know, is wonderfully delightful and, you know, captivating. Even when you go see a show, at, you know, in Dallas or Austin or Houston, if you see a touring show.
Exactly.
You can go, wow, what a great show. I loved it. But you can never love it in the way that you can a local production.
Yeah. It celebrates the diversity of the community.
Yes,
to me,
it does.
It celebrates the diversity of any community when you see a local show. But you're also involved in a lot of different things in the community. Can mm-hmm. you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think that one of the things that is important for any civic organization, but it's really important for an arts organization, is for it to be relevant to its community.
Okay.
And one of the things that you see with some art forms, opera, for instance, or ballet, is that it doesn't have a resonance for the people in the community where they live. It seems other, separate, apart, and it may be excellent, but it doesn't have a connection to people's daily lives. And one of the things that we can do as theaters, not just that thing that we just talked about, in that, you know, you can see a person that you know in an unfamiliar role and you can celebrate their talent, is that so often the things that a theater is able to bring to an audience or to a community are relevant in the sense that if the programming is chosen well and the organization is truly a part of the community, it speaks to the people in the audience. You know, next year we're doing Beauty and the Beast. And one of the great things about Disney is that it has, as an entertainment company, as a strategy, they have tried to celebrate cultural diversity.
Yes.
You know, you've got Pocahontas, you've got a new one, Princess Moana, coming out, which celebrates Pacific cultures. And in Beauty and the Beast, though it has a, it's, you know, an old French story, there's no particular culture that's associated with it. It has a timeless universal message.
Right.
And that the inner beauty of a person is far more important than their outward appearance. And it's reinforced in many ways in that show. And it also celebrates the individual. You know, Belle is not like the people in her village. She likes to read, you know. Who does that, right? And so they think of her as an oddball. I know, yeah. The few, the proud, the readers, yeah. So it's that show in some ways celebrates a lot of things that we value in people and in community and in society. And so one of the ways we're celebrating that is we're going to colorblind casting in that show. We're also doing it in a space, the Waco High School PAC, which is a tremendous space due to the cooperation of Waco Independent School District and their fine arts director. But we're doing it in a school that is incredibly culturally diverse.
Yes.
And so by marrying up a high school facility and a high school drama department with a community theater department, and now through, as we've just found out, through a generous grant through HEB, we are going to produce a really sophisticated, meaning flying and fancy costumes and special effects, production of Beauty and the Beast in a space that is different for us and I hope different for the community. And it brings together two very, very different groups.
But it'll be under the name of Waco.
Yes, it's a Waco Civic Theater production. In cooperation with the Waco Independent School District and Waco High School. And that's the first show of the season.
Okay. Hang on.
Sure.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with Eric Shepherd, Executive Director of the Waco Civic Theater, and we are engaged in a wonderful conversation about the arts in our community and specifically theater coming up. I want you to tell us more.
Okay. I want to go on to talk about programming, I guess, because it's sort of our key, right?
Sure.
You know, in December, we're doing a show called Million Dollar Quartet, and it's based on an actual event that happened. Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley
yes.
all showed up at Sam Phillips Studios in Memphis in December in the middle 1950s, and they had a little concert, an impromptu jam session, if you will.
Amazing.
Yeah, incredible talent in that room, and to have those four guys just show up, you know, because it wasn't a planned thing. And thankfully, it was recorded. So, you know, there is a recording of that actual
jam
session.
Somebody pushed the record button.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah, they rolled the tape. And so we have a record of that actual event. And then someone said, this would make a great show. What that show allows us to do is to reach further into the community. I mean, we've got, and by that I mean the largest sense of the word community. So there are quite a few independent bands in the Waco area, and people who love and play oldies music. There's a thriving rockabilly scene in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
We have a professional music program at MCC. And our production will enable Waco Civic Theater to work with those guys. We also have a live music show that, you know, generates from Waco.
Absolutely.
And we have already been working with both the folks from MCC and the Ermoyans about the opportunity to bring together people who love, you know, old rock music and love to perform this kind of stuff.
It's not old, is it?
Well,
good rock music.
Good rock. Let's call it that. Let's call it golden music.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
So that's an opportunity for us to work with an entirely different group of people. And then moving forward, next season, this time next year, we'll be performing the musical Rent. And Rent was, you know.
That's pretty diverse.
It is. It was a big deal 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bernie Sanders is still in the presidential race because one of the things that he talks about is income inequality. He talks about being able to afford a place to live. He talks about how access to health care is vital for Americans. You know, richest country in the world, and there are people who can't afford to go to the doctor. And, you know, whatever your political persuasion is, when Rent came out 20 years ago, it talked about things that we're still talking about today.
Right.
And if you look at what's going on in Waco currently, Prosper Waco is all about trying to eradicate the root causes of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about unifying services so that people can actually advance in their lives rather than just be recipients.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's larger than Prosper Waco, but Prosper Waco is a great, you know, fulcrum, if you will, to focus the attention on the root causes of how it is people are not able to.
How did we get here?
Yeah, exactly.
How did we get to this point?
And Rent is about that. It's about income inequality. It's about affordable housing. It's about access to healthcare. And interestingly enough, it's about the role of the artist in society. To what importance do we place on a cultural scene? And my goodness, that's what we're talking about in Waco right now.
Well, that's true. And I think that goes back, you know, well before Shakespeare and all of that, that the artist or the performer was, you know, not necessarily considered, you know, the person in the community that everyone thought would be the biggest contributor.
Right.
But yet it is the mirror, really. A bit of like a mirror of the whole community.
Exactly. I mean, some ways that we know that any civilization existed may be their artifacts, maybe their art things. You look at the cave drawings, you
exactly.
know, and you go, somebody was here, and and making an artistic gesture, you know, with the buffalo or, you know, whatever it is that's on the wall, that's the only record we have that those people were here. And it's clear that they didn't intend just to, you know, make some drawing. There was an artist at work there, and it can touch us 40,000 years later.
So I know that everyone listening will agree with me now. Wow, this was a great selection for you to come on the Central Texas Leadership Series, because clearly you understand the projects that you're working on, and you're very well spoken and all of this. How? Tell me about your leadership philosophy. What motivates you as a leader?
You knew
you were a leader.
Not really. I'm doing my thing. You know,
that's one of the things that makes you a good leader is because you're not tied up in the idea that I'm a leader.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I feel like the most important thing that I can contribute is to do the thing that I do well,
mm-hmm.
and that happens to be the administrator or the leader of an arts organization. And I understand, you know, as a part of that, that my job is to help people to understand the ways in which the thing that we do benefits others. You know, it's not all about us. It's not
right.
all. And I talked about the shows that we're doing and the way they connect, because, you know, that is our mission, is to create, you know, meaningful experiences for people through theater. But I also understand that people enjoy it. They want it. They find value in it because it speaks of something larger. And so I'm always in search of that larger issue. You know, what's the big idea here? What's the core of the experience for us? And what is it that's going to touch other people? In what way can we help the folks around us, or reach them in a way that goes beyond the momentary thing that happens on a stage, which is incredibly wonderful and it's magical, and yet it for it to have real meaning, it has to extend beyond the walls of our theater.
Absolutely, and that's how you do it. And we never have enough time to talk about all of these things. So I want to give you a chance real quickly to talk about any other parts of the upcoming season, or what people need to do. I mean, you need to. This is your commercial here. Okay. Give us a minute or so.
Well, the first thing to say is that we're not an entertainment company.
Right.
What our theater does, even though it sounds extravagant, is what we really do is we change people's lives. And we do that in a variety of ways. Sometimes an idea or a thought, an emotion is expressed in a show and it has resonance for that person, you know, and they carry it with them far beyond that. And that's the real power of what we do, not, you know, that moment of hitting that beautiful note or saying that wonderful line. Another thing that we do is that we provide an outlet for people who might be a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer who always wanted to be, you know, an actor or performer. And I know it sounds sort of extravagant again, but we kind of feed their soul,
sure.
you know, because they're finding something, a gift that was given to them or a talent that they don't get to express in their everyday life. And they're able to do that. And it makes them healthier, happier, you know, more whole and sane, you know. Another thing that we do is through our educational and our outreach programs is that we try to bring a really meaningful and character-building experience to young people who either are interested in the arts or don't know they're interested in the arts or need the skills that they acquire through theater that are really going to help them.
Sure.
More confidence, you know, decision-making, teamwork, all of those sorts of things are derived from doing shows.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know I have enjoyed our conversation.
So have I. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is my favorite topic. So we could talk about this all day.
Thank you for being here.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks, Liz.
You bet.
Liz Taylor speaking with Eric Shepherd, Executive Director of the Waco Civic Theater. This episode of the Central Texas Leadership Series was recorded May 4th, 2016 in the KWBU studio. You can find this and past episodes on our website at kwbu.org.